witness, and the next witnesses are angels, and the next witnesses are the ulama, the scholars, people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as a witness. This ayah I just recited has so many virtues. It comes in one of the riwayah narrated by Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, that after that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the close meaning of the hadith, that after salah, after praying, one who recites ayatul kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, the ayah 255 in Surah Al-Baqarah, and then recites this ayah, shahidallahu annahu la ilaha illa hu, Surah Al-Imran ayah 18, and then recites two more ayahs, ayah 26 and 27 from Surah Al-Imran, which talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qulillahumma malikal mulk, till the end of the next ayah, which ends with bighayri hisab. One who recites these ayahs after salah, the reward is so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins, admit him into paradise, and takes care of 70 of his needs. And the smallest of these is his forgiveness. In another narration, it comes with Surah Al-Fatiha also, that one after salah who recites Surah Al-Fatiha, then recites Ayatul Kursi, and then recites Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu, and then recites Qulillahumma malikal mulk, the two ayahs, then he will get all these rewards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at him or her 70 times with mercy. So much reward. We should know the virtues, the fadail of reciting various ayahs of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah. And in the tafsir, the Mufassirin write, that fear of Allah is one of the special quality of ulama or scholars. Fear of Allah, we should all try to possess, but it's a special quality of the scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. And those similitude, those examples, we put forward for mankind, but none will understand them except those who have knowledge. Except those who have knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we gave this book, the book that is the Quran, for inheritance to such of our slaves whom we choose. Whom we choose. The people who are engaged in acquiring knowledge of Quran and Sunnah and propagating that knowledge are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةً لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. It is not proper for the believers to go out to fight all together. Of every troop of them, a party only should go forth, that they who are left behind, the remaining ones, may get instruction in Islamic religion, and that they may warn their people when they return to them, so that they may beware. So that they may beware. In normal circumstances, not all the Muslims go out in jihad at the same time. The remaining one who are left should engage themselves in acquiring the knowledge of deen and remind the rest of the community. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a famous hadith, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. That it is obligatory on every Muslim to acquire religious knowledge. Respected brothers and sisters, what is that most essential required knowledge that each Muslim must have? Some of those are the Islamic belief, the aqidah, the correct aqidah. Then the parts of Sharia dealing with everyday life, dealing with cleanliness, purity, wudu and ghusl, dealing with ibadah, worship, prayers, fasting, zakah, hajj, halal and haram, what is permissible, what is not permissible, what to eat, what not to eat, where to invest, where not to invest, how to earn money, how to spend. Someone who is involved in business and trade, it's obligatory on him or her to understand the Islamic Sharia and the injunctions regarding that trade, the buying and selling, the Islamic jurisprudence of that. Someone is getting married, should know the ahkam of nikah, and so on. The most essential things we deal with, we should acquire knowledge, Islamic knowledge for that. At the same time, we should acquire an understanding of the good manners. What is sabr, patience? What is tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is shukr, gratitude? What is contentment? And how to avoid the bad manners, the pride, takabbur, or hasad, jealousy, or bukhl, miserliness, and so on. So different aspects of our deen should acquire knowledge for that. The complete and all the injunctions and the rules from each and every ayah of the Quran and from each and every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that branch of knowledge, in every town there must be some people who understand, who are scholars, and the rest of the people could consult with them. But the first type of knowledge, the most essential things in everybody's life and the type of things we are engaged in, it is obligatory on us to know the knowledge, the rulings of Sharia which applies to my situation. What is the reality of the curriculum of religious education that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in this ayah that I recited? The ulama said that in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran did not say the expression يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الدِّينَ, did not say that just acquire knowledge or just read books to assimilate and digest. Because in today's world, we will find many professors teaching Islam and comparative religion, and they know more ahadith and the ayah than some of us. But still they are not Muslims themselves. They are teaching it, they know that's their profession. But the knowledge has not entered their own hearts. And you can find examples in this country. And also Shaitan has acquired too much knowledge, but it didn't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the expression used in the Quran is لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that is strive, that we must make an effort to understand the reality of knowledge, the reality of deen. What is the reality of deen? That each one of us is accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and everything we say and each and everything we do in our life. We are accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh described the definition of fiqh. One time he said that insan, the human being, should know or understand all the deeds necessary for him to perform, and should understand all the things and deeds he or she must abstain from. That is the extent of knowledge. Respected brothers and sisters, what is the duty of a knowledgeable person, the duty of a scholar after acquiring knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the same ayah, لِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, they may warn the people. They may warn the people. How? The same way as Anbiya alayhi salam used to come and warn their people and the tribes with love, with sympathy, with affection. And Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets, used to come and used to tell people that, O people, I am your well-wisher. I am Amin. I am Nasih. I am your well-wisher. I want good for you. That's why come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow me, follow these injunctions, and you will be successful. And they didn't ask for any reward. So this is a duty of the scholar, the knowledgeable, to instruct people. So that, what is the goal, what is the objective, is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, so that they may beware, so that they stop from making sins, from doing sins. That's why it is a duty of a scholar to see the impact of how, where the community is going, and feedback, and then instruct and remind again and again, so that reach the end goal, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, so that people understand and stop from doing bad things. There is so much reward, the fadila, virtues, to acquire religious knowledge. For each of us, there is an encouragement, so many hadith on that subject. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu narrated one of the hadith in Bukhari, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the close meaning of the hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes well for someone, He guides him towards the understanding of deen. He guides him towards the understanding of deen. I am only a distributor, and Allah is the bestower. And Allah is the bestower. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, close meaning of the hadith, he who goes to the masjid not desiring anything other than learning or teaching a good deed will have the reward of the person who performs a complete and virtuous hajj. Performing hajj is obligatory. Whoever has not done it and has the means, we must go and perform the fard hajj. But the fadila of coming to the masjid to learn or teach something, one also gets reward of another nafil hajj. So much reward. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one of the distinguished companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was passing by the market in Madina Munawwara, and he addressed the people and the traders that, O people, what made you ajiz that you are sitting here and the miras, the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being distributed in the masjid? Is being distributed. So people ask, Ya Abu Huraira, where is it being distributed, the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told them, in the masjid. So people left their things and jobs and rushed towards the masjid. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stayed there. After a while, people came back. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked them, what did you find? They say, we didn't find any inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Disappointed. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked them, you didn't find anybody in the masjid? They said, yes, O Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, we saw some people performing salah, and we saw some people reciting the Quran, and some people doing mudakara, sitting in a halaqa and learning what is halal and what is haram, what is permissible and what is impermissible. This is all we found. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told them that this is the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the inheritance of Prophet. This is the ilm. This is what the prophets leave behind. Narrated Abu Darda radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, whoever embarks on a journey whoever goes out in search of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him on one of the many paths to paradise. Allah makes it easy for him or her to enter paradise. The angels spread their wings in pleasure for the one who has set out to seek knowledge. The inhabitants of the heavens and the earth and the fish in the depths of the sea all supplicate forgiveness for the seeker of knowledge. All supplicate forgiveness for the seeker of knowledge. Verily, the preeminence of a scholar over a devout man, over a worshipper, is that of a full moon over the stars. And indeed, the scholars are heirs of the prophets. And verily, the prophets did not leave behind an inheritance, any dinar or dirham, any wealth or property, except inheritors of ilm, knowledge. So whoever acquired this inheritance indeed received a magnificent portion of good fortune. In another narration it comes that one who is in search of knowledge, that search becomes kafara of his or her past sins, minor sins. Minor sins are forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq, the ability to do repentance, complete repentance from the major sins also. One who acquires and goes out for knowledge. And Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh narrates that one who died in such a condition that he was learning knowledge to revive the deen, that he was acquiring knowledge to revive the deen of Islam in the original shape, in the shape it was preserved, and he died between him and the prophets in paradise. Between him there will be a difference of just one rank in paradise. So much reward for devoting our time to acquire knowledge and keep engaged till the last time. Respected brothers and sisters, we have to acquire the correct knowledge. Who is my Allah? What Allah wants from me? How to obey Allah? How to please Allah? If we just have a good intention and do something, some project, some aspect, and we don't have the correct knowledge, we might do a lot of mistakes. And then we have to have the yaqeen, the faith on the knowledge we have. We need to have the complete understanding that it is this knowledge, it is the deen of Islam, which will lead me to salvation, which will lead me to Jannah. And if I don't have the yaqeen on that knowledge, it will be hard to practice. And that's why you find many professors of Islamic education, and they are not Muslims, and they teach hadith and Quran and all that, but it has not entered their heart. So when we acquire knowledge, it is for the intention of amal, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that comes the tabligh. When we know something, we should propagate to others. We should propagate and impart and instruct and give nasiha to the other people, to our community and people around us, and convey this message. And with all that, we need ikhlas, sincerity, that it is all for the sake of Allah, not for name and fame or any show. Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu used to say, this is his qawl, not a hadith, used to say, one who will engage himself in the work of Allah, all the people will need him. And one who will act upon the ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, all the people will need that ilm he possesses. Respected Muslims, to each one of us will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might ask us, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O man, what has made you careless about your Lord, the most generous? Respected brothers and sisters, many of us who spent about 18 years or 20 years of professional education learning the material aspects, science, engineering, medicine, law, 18 years multiplied by 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days, multiplied by 4 hours every day. It amounts to 18,000 to 20,000 hours of this education, which gives us some job and some aspects of living and understanding the social aspects. We have not spent enough time to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Quran teaches, what the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches, what will lead me to salvation, how to please Allah, how to avoid the anger of Allah. We haven't spent much time for that. And that's why this is request, and there's so much fadila and so much virtues for that, that each one of us should spend and dedicate some time to acquire the religious knowledge. The best way is to acquire from the ulama, from the scholars. Go and sit with them, go and learn from them. And while they are not available, then some of the authentic books. And whenever there is confusion, refer to the ulama, to the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and act upon it. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Alhamdulillah al-akram, alladhi khalaqa al-insana wa karram, وعلمه من البيان ما لم يعلم فسبحان الذي لا يحصى امتنانه باللسان ولا بالقلم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أوتي جوامع الكلم وكرائم الحكم ومكارم الشيم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم طريق الأمم. أما بعد، فإن علم الشرائع والأحكام هو أعظم فرائض الإسلام، ومن ثم أمر به وحض عليه التعليم والتعلم، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بلغوا عني ولو آية. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه بحظ وافر. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: تعلموا الفرائض والقرآن وعلموا الناس فإني مقبوض. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أمن هو قانت آناء الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه، قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون، إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم وقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقباهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غربا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقيم الصلاة.